Revelation chapter 19, verse 9. This is the reading of God's word. Then he said to me, Write, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are true words of God. Amen.
Please be seated.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you for the heavenly manna. Oh Father, let us hear your word with faith so that it will produce much fruits in our lives. Oh Father, we pray that you and you alone will receive all the glory, and that Jesus Christ will be preached correctly, and your people will meet Jesus Christ through your word, having fellowship with him, with you, now and forever. Oh Father, we pray they will hear the wonderful stories of Jesus Christ. And let us rejoice when we hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you and receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Or, in other translations, the wedding feast of the Lamb. The harlot is destroyed, but the bride of the Lamb is ready. And now there is an eternal wedding in heaven. And this is our present spiritual reality. Just like we need to wait until our Lord's coming for the visible bodily resurrection, but we are already resurrected spiritually. So there is always already but not yet aspect when we talk about our religion. What Jesus Christ has accomplished. So, in the same way, this wedding is already our present spiritual reality, but we need to wait for that wedding to be visible and that marriage life to be visible. We are living a resurrected life already, that heavenly life already in Jesus Christ. And we saw how our lives in this world is getting ready. We saw our lives in terms of getting ready for our eternal husband's coming. And next week, when we start looking at chapter 19, verse 11, we will see our Lord, our husband, coming to gather his people. We must see our lives here on earth in that term. That's why the Jewish custom is very helpful here. You know, there is first engagement, and the marriage actually begins at the engagement, unlike what happens today in our country. Then there's a waiting period, where bride is getting ready. And when that time is over, then the husband comes and takes the bride to his house. And there will be wedding feast for many, many days. And that is exactly what our life is all about. We are already engaged with Christ. The marriage life actually begins He is our husband. But at this time, we are in the waiting period, getting ready so that our husband can come and take us to his home, and there will be wedding feast in heaven. So our lives, maybe we live 70 years, 80 years, nowadays 90 years, you must understand that life in terms of getting ready for the coming husband. Otherwise, you're going to be surprised and you're going to waste your whole life. We do not live like the non-Christians. We don't have the same purpose, same focus as non-Christians. Yes, we live here with them. We go to the same school. We go to the same job. But the purpose and the focus is completely different. You have to understand the reality of your spiritual life. Yes, your school will tell us that we're just physical. We're just like animals. And they don't consider spirits. For them, it's all about physical. That's why they would not accept the spiritual things that the Bible speaks of. Physical dies. Spiritual lives forever. No matter what we are doing, we must see that in terms of getting ready for our eternal husband who is coming. Now, what we want to look at today before we finish this section is this, that marriage supper or the wedding feast. What does that show? What is the meaning? What does God trying to tell us through this wedding feast that we see in this verse? Well, eating and drinking with our God forever and ever, that is what the wedding feast is all about. Eating and drinking with God. And what does that show? Well, it shows the eternal, sweet, joyous, heavenly fellowship with God. That is what eating and drinking together points to. You eat and drink with your friends, especially supper. You will not invite, well, I guess these days for the money or for the fame or whatever this stupid world looks for. These days, people will invite even enemies to their supper. But usually, it's about family and friends. It's about close people who are close to you. That's the whole picture. Having fellowship with God. Now, I want you to really think about this today. Because you and I, we are Christians. Which means we have fellowship with God. And now, what does that mean? How does that show in our lives? Or maybe question should be, do you have fellowship with God? Do you even understand what that is? Or having fellowship with God has nothing to do with your life. I mean, you go to school, you have fellowship with your friends. You go to work and, you have fellowship with your coworkers. How about God? But this is our spiritual reality. Wedding feast. Do you understand that you are invited to the wedding feast of God? And you are eating and drinking with God, meaning you are fellowshipping with God. Now, eating and drinking, usually the Bible uses the bread and the wine when it comes to eating and drinking together. Well, wine, what does it symbolize? Psalm 104, verse 15a says, "And wine which makes man's heart glad." Now, people who like drinking, I guess you will love that verse. Yes, wine makes us happy. Too much, then, you know, you get drunk and you sin. But in the Bible, wine points to the happiness. Judges chapter 9, verse 13 talks about the wine which cheers God and men. Thus, wine points to joy. And the bread points to the abundance, the satisfaction of being filled. Thus, the wine and the bread points to joy and satisfaction. So, eating and drinking with God is joyous fellowship, complete satisfaction. Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31, I read from verse 10. "Hear the word of the Lord, O nations, and declare in the coastlands afar off, and say, he who scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd keeps his flock." God promises salvation. "For the Lord has ransomed Jacob and redeemed him from the hand of him who was stronger than he. They will come and shout for joy on the height of Zion, and they will be radiant over the bounty of the Lord." Look at how God describes the eternal salvation. "They will come and shout for joy on the height of Zion, and they will be radiant over the bounty of the Lord, over the grain and the new wine and the oil, and over the young of the flock and the herd. And their life will be like a watered garden, and they will never languish again. Then the virgin will receive in the dance, and the young man and the old together, for I will turn their mourning into joy. I will comfort them and give them joy for their sorrow. I will fill the soul of the priests with abundance, and my people will be satisfied with my goodness, declares the Lord." Thus, eating and drinking with God points to the fellowship with God in complete joy and satisfaction. This is what our salvation is all about. It's forever eating and drinking with God, meaning forever fellowshipping with God. And there's endless joy and there's perfect satisfaction. The wedding feast of God and His people, it occurred in the Old Testament typologically. Let us go there in the Old Testament. Since we're in Jeremiah 31, go to verse 32. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 32. Well, I'm going to read from verse 31. "Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." God promises a new covenant. And He says, verse 31, "Not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant, which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. So the old covenant is a wedding covenant. God says so. He says, the new covenant that I'm making, I will make, is not like the old covenant that I made with Israel when I brought them out of Egypt. But he says that I was their husband when that happened, but they broke that covenant. Divorce. Because of sin. Thus, we understand from this verse that the covenant of God at the Mount Sinai was a wedding covenant. The old covenant was a wedding covenant, well, which will show that even the new covenant that Jesus Christ makes is also a wedding covenant. But let's look at that old covenant. Exodus 24. So they come out of Egypt, and God makes covenant with them, but we realize that they're making that covenant was a wedding ceremony. I'm going to read from verse 1, Exodus 24, verse 1. Then he said to Moses, come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, those two are the sons of Aaron, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and you shall worship at a distance. Moses alone, however, shall come near to the Lord, but they shall not come near, nor shall the people come up with him. Now, Israelites are gathered before God at Mount Sinai, and this is what happened. Verse 3, then Moses came and recounted to the people the words of the Lord and all the ordinances, and all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord has spoken, who will do it? You hear this at a wedding ceremony. You hear a groom and a bride, they say, I do. They're making a covenant. So just like it here, Israelites, they say, we'll obey God. I do. Verse 4, Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord. Then he arose early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain with 12 pillars for the 12 tribes of Israel. He sent young men of the sons of Israel, and they offered burnt offerings and sacrificed young bulls as peace offerings to the Lord. Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and the other half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people, and they said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do, and we will be obedient. So Moses took the blood and sprinkled it up on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant, which the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words. So the blood of the covenant was witnessing what they have promised. As they see the blood, they understand that when I break this covenant, my blood will also be shed. I will be dead. That's the way they make this kind of covenant in the Old Testament time. It's making an oath, just like in a wedding ceremony. Husband and wife, they say, I do and I do. Nowadays, I do doesn't mean anything for so many people. Just like Israelites, they just open their mouth and they just say, I do, without even knowing what they're saying. But this was a wedding ceremony. And after wedding ceremony, what happens? There's a wedding feast. Verse 9. Then Moses went up with Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and they saw the God of Israel, and under his feet there appeared to be a pavement of sapphire, as clear as the sky itself, yet he did not stretch out his hand against the nobles of the sons of Israel, and they saw God, and they ate and drank. So they come up to the middle of the mountain, and they eat, they drink, and they are with God. So you have this wedding ceremony and wedding feast. There is a covenant ratified by the blood, then there is a fellowship with God. Through that covenant, now the fellowship is possible with God. But, as you know, this covenant was broken. Why? Well, first of all, because they sinned. But, it was not the perfect covenant. It was a type. It was a type that was pointing to more perfect covenant that Jesus Christ will make. And because it is typological covenant, it was breakable. Thus, the eternal fellowship with God that we see in this eating and drinking with God in the middle of the mountain, the eternal wedding supper, was not possible. It was temporary. Just little time and no more. The eternal fellowship with God is not possible. Why? Because of sin. Because of the disobedience of the people of God. But you understand that God did not abandon his people. He makes promises. And he makes promises in terms of, in the future, there will be a heavenly feast that God will provide. And that points to the heavenly wedding feast. The reality of eternal fellowship with God. Go to Isaiah 25. Let's hear his promise. Isaiah 25, verse 6. The Lord of hosts will prepare a lavish banquet for all peoples on this mountain. A banquet of aged wine, choice pieces with marrow, and refined aged wine. And on this mountain he will swallow up the covering which is over all peoples, even the veil which is stretched over all nations. He will swallow up death for all time. And the Lord God will wipe tears away from all faces, and he will remove the reproach of his people from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken, and it will be said in that day, behold, this is our God for whom we have waited, and he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. So, God promises a day when he will provide a lavish banquet. But this is not just a banquet, but this banquet is connected to all our sins being cleansed. Isaiah 65, verse 13. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, my servants will eat, but you will be hungry. Behold, my servants will drink, but you will be thirsty. Behold, my servants will rejoice, but you will be put to shame. So in this verse, you see both salvation and also judgment. Judgment is not able to eat and drink with God. No fellowship whatsoever. You are abandoned in hell. There is no fellowship with God. So one group will eat, the other will not. One group will drink, the other will not. One group will be joyous, the other will not. Now, these languages is in terms of Old Testament. You know, it's not about, heaven is not about really drinking and eating, but what does drinking and eating symbolize? That's where our focus is. It's fellowshipping. Isaiah 55, verse 1. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk, without money and without cost. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourself in abundance. Why do you waste your time, waste your life in the things of this world, worldly food? You come to me, buy from me the heavenly food. And our Lord Jesus Christ comes and fulfills all of God's promises. He makes the new covenant with his elect people. And that is what we see when he ratifies the Lord's Supper, when he, in chapter 26 of Matthew, let's go there, chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. Again, just like the old covenant, we have the blood of the covenant. And it's not animal's blood like the old covenant, but it is the blood of Jesus Christ. The cross is the ratification of the new covenant. And the Lord's Supper points to the cross. Matthew chapter 26, verse 27. And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sin. So, him dying on the cross is ratification of the new covenant. And he's shedding his blood, just like in the Old Testament, the animal shed his blood. But here, now Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, he shed his blood. But that blood is also the blood of the covenant, blood of the new covenant. Well, in this verse, it just says blood of the covenant. But if you go to Luke chapter 22, Luke chapter 22, verse 20, there Jesus says, this cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. So you put those two verses together, it's the blood of the new covenant. Just like the old covenant, the blood is shed. All the words which the Lord has spoken, who will do? Do you remember I do from the people of Israel? Now, in the new covenant, Jesus Christ, representing all of his people, has completely and perfectly obeyed all of God's word for them. He kept his I do. He actually obeyed every word of God. Yes, we are engaged to our husband, Jesus Christ. The marriage has begun, and we are in the middle of getting ready for him. And one day he will come to take us to his eternal home, and there we will have the eternal wedding banquet There we will have eternal fellowship with God. Now this new covenant is not breakable, even when we sin, because it was ratified by the perfect blood, not the blood of the animals like in the Old Testament. And Jesus, when he said, I do, he actually obeyed every word of God. So this new covenant is made in what Jesus has done and what he has accomplished. That is why we who are in this new covenant, even when we sin, we do not break this covenant. We cannot break this covenant. You are forever married to him. There will be no divorce. There will be no separation. But remember, it is our present spiritual heavenly reality already. Go to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, we saw this a long time ago. Verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and will dine with him, and he with me. I'm knocking. If you open the door, I come in and I will eat with you. Now, we already saw this. It's not talking about non-Christian, you know, opening their hearts to receive Jesus Christ to be Christian. No, that's not what it's talking about. It's about fellowship. This letter is written to Christians, already Christians. This letter is written to you. Did you know that Jesus is knocking at your door? And when you open, he will come and have fellowship with you. But so many people who claim to be Christian, they do not open this door. They don't want any fellowship with God. They're too busy to have fellowship with God. Oh, too many homeworks, too many work. When can we find the time to have fellowship with God? But understand your ultimate reality, your eternal reality. Your salvation life is all about fellowshipping with God. That's what salvation is all about. And if that is what salvation is all about, you who already been saved, that's what your life must be all about. This reality is shown every time we come to the Lord's table, Lord's Supper. What is the Lord's Supper? Well, we could say in many ways, but it is the sign and the seal of our heavenly reality in Jesus Christ eating and drinking with God at his table. It is fellowshipping with God. It's a wedding feast. Our Lord Jesus Christ spoke of this heavenly banquet numerous times. So many places. Let us read a few of them. Matthew chapter 8. I'm going to just keep going without waiting. Matthew chapter 8 verse 11. I say to you that many will come from east and west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Luke chapter 13, verse 28 and 29. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves being thrown out. And they will come from east and west and from north and south and will recline at the table in the kingdom of God. Yes, we will sit with Abraham and Isaac. You know, John will be there, Matthew will be there, and Paul will be there. And we'll eat and drink. But more importantly, Jesus Christ, our God, will be there. And we will have fellowship with Him. Luke chapter 22. Verse 29 and 30. And just as my Father has granted me a kingdom, I grant you that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit on throne judging the 12 tribes of Israel. You may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. Fellowshipping with God. Luke 12, verse 37. Blessed are those slaves whom the master will find on the alert when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will gird himself to serve and have them recline at the table and will come up and wait on them. Not only will eat and drink with Christ, but he will serve us. Jesus says, I will not drink of the wine until he will drink it with us, a new wine, in the kingdom of God, Matthew 26, verse 29. All the promises of God in the Old Testament are completely fulfilled in Jesus Christ, and all will be visible when he returns. Let's look at Luke chapter 14. Little parable that Jesus tells us in Luke chapter 14. Go to verse 15. When one of those who were reclining at the table with him heard this, he said to him, Blessed is anyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. But he said to him, a man was giving a big dinner, and he invited many. And at the dinner hour, he sent his slave to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is ready now. But they were all alike began to make excuses. The first one said to him, I have bought a piece of land, and I need to go out and look at it. Please consider me excused. Another one said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I am going to try them out. Please consider me excused. Another one said, I have married a wife and for that reason I cannot come. And the slave came back and reported this to his master. Then the head of the household became angry and said to his slave, go out at once into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and crippled, blind and lame. And the slave said, Master, what you commanded has been done and still there is room. And the master said to the slave, go out into the highways and along the hedges and compel them to come in so that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste of my dinner. It's very interesting because God describes the reasons for those people who are not coming. In what terms? They cannot come because of earthly matters. In today's language, I'm too busy. I have tests to take. I have homeworks to do. I have to go out and make money. I have business to open. I can't come. I have no time to have fellowship with God. How could this be? And yet, it is true of us. This is just so amazing. Here, God wants to have fellowship with His people. But we're too busy in this world. Amazing, isn't it? Don't you think this is amazing? But brothers and sisters, I pray that you will understand that you are not like these people, that you are hungry and thirsty for God and His kingdom heaven. Psalm 42, let me just read it to you. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Man, do you read the confession of this psalmist? The thirsty deer searching for water. Just like the deer we seek for God. And only thing that matters to him, when shall I come and appear before God? When can I come to God and have a fellowship with him? Waiting for that time, that opportunity. As soon as I get up, as soon as I go home, as soon as I finish my class, when can I come to God and have fellowship with Him? Yes, this fellowship is fulfilled. The reality of drinking and eating with God is already fulfilled. It is your present spiritual reality. And it will be perfectly consummated when Jesus returns. Revelation chapter 7, verse 15. For this reason, they are before the throne of God, and they serve Him day and night in His temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tabernacle over them. They will hunger no longer, nor thirst any more. Nor will the sun beat down on them, nor any heat. Do you hear it? In heaven there is no thirst, no hunger. You are completely satisfied. For the Lamb in the center of the throne will be their shepherd and will guide them to springs of water of life, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes. Jesus Christ our Lord has accomplished it all. But remember when He come, but remember what He had to endure to accomplish this. On the cross, His fellowship with His Father has been broken. On the cross, He cried out, I am thirsty. He is not just talking about physical thirst. He was abandoned by God. Do you remember the fellowship with the Father has been broken? He cries out, I am thirsty. And when He lived His life here, He experienced the betrayal. John chapter 13, verse 18. The Judas, I do not speak of all of you. I know the ones I have chosen, but it is that the scripture may be fulfilled. He who eats my bread has lifted up his heel against me. That quote is from Psalm 42, 41 verse 9, even my close friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. He experienced the betrayal at the table of fellowship. But because of what our Lord Jesus Christ has done and accomplished for us, we now have the eternal heavenly wedding feast with God, complete joy and satisfaction of fellowshipping with God. And this fellowship, this marriage cannot be broken. There will be no betrayal nor divorce in heaven. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, realize what has happened, what has been accomplished. Enjoy your fellowship with God. Enjoy your God now and forever. Even as we worship God right now, we are participating in the heavenly wedding supper of the Lamb. Let us love and adore our eternal husband, Jesus Christ. Never-ending joy is yours. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, just taste how good God is and you will be hooked. Are we so ignorant that we don't even know how good God is? You know, when you meet a good friend, it's your delight to have fellowship with that person often as possible. But do you understand that you are married to your husband, Jesus Christ, and he wants to have that fellowship with you? Complete joy and complete satisfaction will be yours when you come to God and have fellowship with him. And even this worship, do you understand that it is having fellowship with God? There's peace. There's joy. There's complete satisfaction. Do you understand what we're talking about, brothers and sisters? I pray to God that you do understand, that you know what we're talking about. Have fellowship with him. Do not let him stand outside of your door. Let him in and eat and drink with him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. It is indeed amazing grace. And Father, I'm afraid that some of us just do not understand how good you are. That just like the world, some of us may be too busy with the worldly matters. But Father, we pray that you would bless us, that you will give us right understanding, right faith, true faith, that just like the thirsty deer panting for the water, that we will pant for our Lord. When can I appear before God and have fellowship with him? That we will seek that opportunity, seek that glorious time of fellowshipping with God. We thank you that it is your eternal desire to have fellowship with us. Oh Father, bless us. Make us more and more like your Son. Let us delight in you, God. Bless your people. Bless your church. We pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.